Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
To another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. And here we are, the first one of 2019.
Wow.
Crazy.
Did you write it on your checks yet?
We made it. I can't believe it. A whole nother year and the podcast is still going. We're still in perfect shape.
Mm-hmm.
Still look amazing. There's no reason to even have a resolution. How you doing? Welcome back.
I'm good. Thanks. Welcome back to you. You're the one that was on. Well, we were both on the East Coast, kind of.
Well, yeah, we were all over the place. We were over the hills and through the woods, going to see everybody we knew. It was quite a whirlwind. Well, we're happy to be back, and we have a great show for you today. As always, we're trying to start things off on the right foot and give you a healthy dose of inspiration for the year ahead. We're back on tour, starting up very soon. Just added a second show to Annapolis because we sold out the one show.
Oh, nice.
So that just went on sale for the Februarys. Go to tompapa.com and look up all the dates there.
Alexandria, Virginia, and Annapolis. Is that what it is?
Yeah, and Mohegan Sun, and some stuff in Colorado, some stuff in New Jersey at NJ Pack, Vail, Colorado, a lot of Live From Here dates coming up. I think I'm going to be in Kansas City with that show a week from Saturday. We'll be back on the air. The Live Come to Papa coming to New York on January 15th. And yeah, we're back to it. We're not really back to it, but we see it coming. We're still in that fuzzy, hazy holiday head.
LA, they still take like another a week and a half off, kind of.
Yeah, there's still nobody working. I went for a run today. The streets were empty. People don't go back to work the day after.
Nobody's in school.
No one's in school.
Your kids are all here.
Yeah, my kids are just lounging around watching Queer Eye. there's nobody in the offices. If you want to get a hold of your agents, that doesn't happen. It's just complete shutdown. And I have to admit, I did one spot at the Improv, I think, on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And just to kind of dust off and remember what the hell I do. And I'm made the decision today to stop eating 20 pounds of cookies every day. And I went for a run, as I said, and I'm trying to like just kind of physically call off the holidays.
Yeah.
It's pretty much a wrap. But mentally, I always had, I think the reason I really knew that I was going to become a comedian for realsies was when I was working in advertising and had to go to work the day after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And couldn't believe that this is how the adult world worked.
Yeah.
That you didn't get like 2 weeks off. It's Christmas time. Why do we need to enjoy myself and stay under the tree? And I was back at work, and I remember like driving there. I think I was almost crying. I was like, well, tearing up. Like, it wasn't that someone told me that there was no Santa. They just told me that there was no joy.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm going to have to make my own schedule because this is unacceptable.
Yeah.
But
You can't do this for the next 40 years, Tom? Come
yeah. Oh, my God. What a horrible realization. But so I am still definitely in the mind frame of mindset of the holidays. I'm still very looking forward to screwing around and but we will be back to work soon. What really has been bothering me, and I want to hear what you were up to as well, but I have been working on this script and I cannot crack this story. And I'm literally spending hours just looking at it, confused, befuddled, throwing things out, trying to rehash it, trying to rewrite it. I mean, I think it's been days now.
Yeah.
And I just can't do it.
You're not feeling it?
I got it. I think I've got it. And then it's like, no, it's wrong. And then, you know, trying to figure out what the ending is. And then you realize if you don't have the ending, it's because something's wrong in the beginning.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's where I'm at.
Maybe it's your Bart and Fink, you know? When the Coen brothers got so frustrated making Miller's Crossing, they did Bart and Fink for fun.
Is that true?
Yeah. Because they got so, like...
Stuck
on the dialogue because they had to write it in the old-fashioned...
Wow.
So they just did that just to, like, get away from it.
Jeez. Maybe that's what I have to do. I have to shift gears. You want me to throw this story at you and see what you can come up with?
All right.
Maybe you can solve it right here. It might be too long, but basically...
It's not longer than that joke. We got some feedback on that joke that you tried to tell.
We did.
At the end of the...
at the end of the year. All right, I'm going to tell you what this little story is, and then you tell me how you can fix it.
Okay.
I don't care who hears it. Maybe they all have an idea. So there's this... I'll try and sum it up. I'll do the short version of it. The main character is this little girl who's 13 years old, and she's going into high school, and she's tiny. She's got this... She's really short, frizzy hair, glasses, braces, but she's a powerhouse. Mm-hmm. And she, this takes place in the 80s, and she's showing everybody in the 80s is part of a group. There's the nerds, there's the populars, there's the jocks, there's the whoever. She doesn't fit into any of that because she's too busy trying to save the world. Mm-hmm. She tells her family that they need to compost in the morning at breakfast, and they're all just look at her like, what? And then the brother walks in who's on the football team, and everybody wants to talk to him, and he has a big game coming up, and they're all excited about him. And she's like, the only way you can get noticed in this world is if you have a football under your arms. So she goes to school. She has a meeting with the principal, tells him that it's time for them to start composting as well. She has a, you know, she's always protesting something in school. That's her whole thing. She's protesting school buses idling in the parking lot. She's protesting his recycling. She has a meeting with the principal and says, we've got to start composting. He's like this nervous guy. She shows up every day with something. He doesn't want to talk about it. He just wants to talk about the brother and the big game that he has coming up in the football. Does this make sense so far?
Yeah.
I'm kind of jumping. So they're at lunch, her and her friends, and they're watching the jocks like throwing milk cartons at each other, milk bombs, and they're exploding. And she's trying to compost, and everybody's wasting stuff. And her friend's like, well, if you were on the football team, they'd probably listen to you. The only people that everyone listens to in the world is, you know, the jocks run the school. So this tiny little Robin decides, that's it. I'm going out for the football team so I can be heard. Mm-hmm. This tiny little thing marches across the field and sees this coach. And he laughs at her and like, no, you're not playing football. You're 2 feet tall and you're a girl. So she goes through these different things of trying to join up, and it's just not working. They're blocking her. You know, they're just telling you can't do it because you're tiny. You can't do it because you don't have cleats. You can't do it. Her father's furious that she even tried. You're going to get killed. So she ends up at the end. She ends up getting over all of these hurdles, and finally wears them down and shows up on the field with her little cleats and says, I'm joining the team and you can't stop me. Fine. They give in. They put her in this gigantic shoulder pads and helmet. And she does it. She's the first girl ever on the football team in this high school. And it lasts all of 3 minutes because on the first play, some guy comes across the line, hits her. She goes flying through the sky, it lands on her back and passes out. Is blacked out. That's all I got.
Oh.
So then at the end, I want her to get the composting through the school. Uh-huh. And I don't have a, a resolution.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of, I feel like it's a cool story of this little girl trying to persevere. She wants to be, fine, I'll join the football team. So she makes a big stink. She's going to be the first girl ever to join, but they won't let her. And she finally breaks through and does it. Maybe it's just too straightforward.
Yeah, I was thinking, I wasn't sure if she was actually going to make the team.
Uh-huh.
Just as a sports story person,
mm-hmm.
the two things you could do were maybe she could be the kicker.
Uh-huh.
That could be like the one thing as a small person she could do.
Right.
Or I was thinking the one play that she gets in when they knock her over and the other team scores.
Uh-huh.
That they call a penalty on the other team because they hit her too hard or something like that. Well, and then she's still kind of the hero.
Yeah, but I feel... yeah, if we were making a movie and we had time to get there, we could do that.
Like Rudy.
Yeah, but like she's... We don't have time for her to actually get on the team.
Trying to think. It's the...
She also has a crush on the bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
On the cool kid who smokes.
Uh-huh.
She's in love with him, and he's... she's trying to get with him at the same time. And he wouldn't be into football, so I don't know.
But maybe it's the people that she inspires just by trying out for the team. You know, like what other people kind of followed their challenges. It's, I don't know about football, though. So
I like the image of this tiny person being against this giant army.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's a funny thing. Mm-hmm. Like, that she's such a spitfire that she's, you know, you can't stop her. She's protesting all over the place. And every time she protests, they just pick her up and move her.
right.
And now she's like, you know, well, screw it. This is the only people that seem to count in this world, my brother included, are football players. Mm-hmm. I'm going out for football. And then it becomes like this, you know, this cause of hers. And she breaks through and gets it and then gets knocked on her butt.
But you don't want her to succeed at all. You want her to get, like in football, you don't want any kind of loophole. Like if they run the fumble rooski. she's the one hiding the ball.
Maybe I'm trying to make too much out of the story of their getting on the team. Maybe that's a shorter thing.
Yeah.
She just declares it and shows up. And
because it's kind of where does she get by failing at the football team?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, what would make her ultimately... She ultimately wants the principal to... She wants everybody to hear her and start composting, right? That's her real cause.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, going out for the football and getting knocked on her ass, that doesn't help her. It just... Right? Yeah, that's a good point.
But maybe that gains, like, respect from the football players that she, like, made it through the practice or she made it through the... drills or something.
Mm-hmm. And the football team, who are the only people that are listened to?
Yeah.
Tell the principal that she's going to have to compost. I don't know. I like that. I like that she gains the respect of the guys.
Yeah, because she did do like the work and went through the practices. Like, you don't necessarily have to be a football player to like run the drills and sprint, you know, and do the morning workouts and all that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, or just that she was tough enough to do it. That she just walked out there. And maybe she wins her brother over who's on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, who gives a shit? Composting, you know what I mean? Like composting, it's like, just go tell the principal that's what you want.
Yeah.
And make him do it. You know? It's that she doesn't have a clear thing that she wants.
Well, maybe the composting field allows them to build a new football stadium.
Well, I did have that at the end. I do think that that's a cool thing. Like, I never went back to the field, but my compost did.
Yeah.
And you see just some player, like, getting tackled on the field, and he's got turf in his face.
Right.
Like, she does have that achievement. She does make that difference. She was heard. Mm-hmm. But the link between the two is just, like, you know.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a way that the compost thing could be turned into, like, the field.
What about the principal is, like, you know, beside himself and just can't... He's like, sneaking cigarettes and just doesn't want to deal mm-hmm. with kids and just wants to... And now this little pain in the ass keeps showing up and demanding that they put in new ramps and do all this stuff. And so she tries to join the team, and what's the... Like, what? How does she get him to...
Yeah.
How does she get him to say yes to the compost?
Right, by... either holding up the game or, you know, maybe her getting knocked over gets everyone to be like, don't, if you're going to kill yourself, we'll do the compost thing.
She just refuses to leave the field.
Like, after she does get knocked down, everyone thinks she's like, she's dead or something like that. Yeah. And then they all rush to the field, and then he's like, if you want it that badly... we'll do it. Just don't play anymore.
Yeah. Like, see, the problem is, like, what does he care? Like, so you let people throw some garbage out in the back of the school.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not like she's asking for that big of a thing.
But is he probably one of those guys that's like, well, what's next? everything's solar, everything's... probably one of those guys.
Maybe if the father got annoyed that the principal let her do that and almost got her killed.
Yeah. She's shining a light. Trying to think, but the composting is like the thing that you're definitely hanging on.
I'm not definitely hanging on anything at this point. But I did like the idea of her making a stance for that.
Well, that's the only thing I was thinking is like, if it's something that like, what if it was like a solar thing, and then that powered the lights for the stadium so they could play at night or something.
Mm-hmm.
For the football, because that's like a big deal. I don't know if you always had that.
Yeah.
Like country kids had to play football during the day.
Right, until they got lights. So I don't know. We're not going to crack it right now. I'm bringing you into my writing black hole, but that's where I've been living for the last 2 days.
Oh, okay.
And it had different ideas and a different kind of stuff. That's where it kind of ended up, and it's... I thought I was there. I thought I was so close. I thought I had a breakthrough, and obviously I don't. I mean, a big part of it, too, is that there's this cute boy that she loves. Mm-hmm. There's this guy, Tyler, who's like the, you know, kind of this distraction. She's like, if she could win him more than even the compost thing, like if she could win him in some way,
right.
That's kind of a cool thing, too. You know, she gets knocked out, and, well, football's stupid. What are you doing that for?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe she gets contacts and gets rid of her glasses, and then he thinks she's cute.
Maybe. So where'd you spend Christmas?
I was in Florida. I flew on Christmas Eve.
Was that nice and quiet?
No.
No?
Well, it wasn't too bad driving there. But it was just the airport. Everyone's all amped up. It was crazy.
Really? I thought it would be mellow on Christmas Eve. I figure everyone's already where they are.
No, I think this was like the last minute rushing people.
Oh.
Because the flights were really expensive.
Oh.
I forget. I think I got first class.
Sweet.
I got bumped up. So it was like, relax.
Yeah.
So that was good. And, but yeah, it was like you don't sleep the night before because you're like, did I pack? Because you got to check a bag. That's something that we don't have to do very often. So you got
to... Why'd you have to check?
Just presents and stuff, you know? Right. It's like you got to bring stuff back. So it's one of those things where I didn't even remember this, but you have to like be there. I think it's an hour before if you check a bag.
Yeah.
Which we never do that.
I know.
So I was kind of stressed out by that. Got out to Florida and Celebrated with the parents.
Nice.
And my sister. And
are they happy to see you?
Yeah, yeah. They're good. We played we played in the bocce ball league.
Nice.
I always get in the...
love bocce
ball. I get in the mode of all the retired people. It was funny. We were just kind of in a circle talking about stuff. And they play bocce. And then the big thing is they have drinks afterwards in the clubhouse. And it's still separated by gender. It's still the guy's table and the girl's table.
Funny.
That's how it is. But there was one guy, Tony, he's 90.
Uh-huh.
And, he's wearing, like, the Sinatra hat.
Nice.
And, still playing pretty well in the bocce ball league.
Nice.
And I was like, so what's the key, Tony? And he's like, I stay up later than everybody.
Oh, really?
He's like, I stay up till 11:20 last night.
And the key is just stay up late?
Yeah, I was kind of asking because I do the math. It's like 90 years. I was like, so what was your driver's test like, Tony? Did you have doors on the car? Was there a roof yet? Was there?
Were you on horseback?
Did you have to spin the front to start the crank?
So your parents are like the young ones there.
Yeah, yeah. But isn't that crazy to think about? Those like, because I was like, even 80s, you're like, okay, but like when somebody's 90 sitting in front of you, you're like, that guy was alive.
Yeah.
You know.
For a long time.
Yeah. You know, the late 20s. Think about that. He's born in...
Here's something cool that we figured out.
Yeah.
When we were talking about 2019, that we're going to be... Next year, we're going to be able to start talking about the 20s.
Ah, yeah. That is the roaring 20s.
Yeah. We're back in the 20s.
The jazz age.
And then we're going to go into the 30s. I mean, it's pretty cool. Like we're restarting all that.
Yeah,
right. We're in the teens. No one talked about the teens. 19. No,
yeah, it was weird to be in the zeros.
The 20s. Yeah, the zeros are weird and the teens are weird. But when you get to the 20s, you know, you're like, all right, we're into the century, and now we're starting to have an identity.
Yeah, it is really strange. I don't know if your kids have done the. Did they do the Black Mirror Bandersnatch or whatever that thing is?
The new Black Mirror thing with the different endings?
Yeah, the interactive thing.
Yeah, no, we haven't done it. We almost did it last night.
So everything that's in the 80s too. So everything is like 80s now, which
oh, really?
Is not even like a little bit retro. It's very retro. Like if you're in the 80s, that was a long time ago.
I know. And so distinct.
That's like the 50s where when we were watching TV, like they had Happy Days and all those things.
I was thinking about setting the show in the 90s, but it's pretty nondescript. 90s don't really stand out.
Yeah, it's going to have, there's got to be a little bit more time, but probably the music and the flannel.
The 80s had so much going on. They had, it was very distinct fashion and music and greed and all this fun stuff going on.
Yeah, and the cars were very like the 90s cars were like kind of boring.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing. Yeah, that's going to be a weird retro time. Cuz even the music was so different cuz it was like early 90s was like grunge.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you had like hip hop and Dave Matthews and Hootie and the Blowfish and all this stuff in between.
Yeah,
it was very
weird,
strange.
Very strange. It was a very weird time. So what do you think? What did you eat? What did you eat on Christmas Day? What was the food?
My mom made a turkey, which was the first time I had turkey since your Thanksgiving one.
Very good.
So that was good. And then I'm trying to think what we're mostly just kind of hanging out. We didn't do a whole lot. Like they have that.
Cookies? You know, were there cookies involved?
There was some cookies. They got like a big shipment. We got some pudding pie.
Pudding pie. Is that a holiday tradition?
We just made the mini ones. My mom made some pudding mini pies.
Nice.
And that was pretty good.
That sounds good.
I'm trying to think where else.
We had a roast.
Yeah, so roast. You were in New York, right?
Well, we were in New York. We went to my parents.
Okay.
Yeah, we, like I said before.
Any weather problems?
No, none.
Okay,
good. It was pretty mellow. It was a little chilly, but not cold enough to snow. We had one little snow dusting, like on Christmas Eve, mm-hmm. which was or the night before Christmas Eve, which was cool, just to get like the wake up and have a little blanket of snow for a minute. It was gone by like 2 p.m.
But, okay,
but that was nice, and I had a huge. I reinstituted the Papa family get together, which was 65 people.
Oh, wow.
Of cousins and aunts and uncles and the whole
Yikes.
Thing.
Yikes.
We did it all the time, and then it kind of fell off, and my cousin and I decided we're going to revamp it, get everybody back in line. Mm-hmm. And it was great because everybody was very excited to be a part of it. They were very into keeping the tradition going. It just needed another generation to kind of take it over from the old people.
Yeah.
And it really just, as my one cousin said, it just needed somebody who knew how to text.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to get people together now. I mean,
yeah.
One group text and you're hitting 80 people, you know? So that was very cool. And,
so they met at your parents' house? Or where?
No, we did it at Mario's in Clifton. It was like this Italian restaurant pizza place.
Oh, okay.
And whenever we were there when we were younger, it was like, why aren't we having pizza? They're trying to get fancy with all this pasta dishes and stuff. It's like, so we just had them crank out a bunch of pizza.
Yeah.
And it was great.
That's awesome. Just,
yeah, all this great pizza. Had a good time. Ate that. Then we, on Christmas Day, there were a lot of cookies floating around. My sisters were baking a lot of cookies. My mother was. It felt weird to not be in the mix of the baking and the cooking and the planning.
Yeah.
But it was kind of nice just to show up places.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother hosted on Christmas, and we had big lasagnas and roast and all this kind of good stuff. But I didn't have to, I got to say, this holiday season did not eat my face off, did not get completely out of control. Sometimes, I remember last year, it was like, by the time I got to January, I was like, I can't eat or drink for like a month.
Well, did you do your thing with your high school buddies?
Yeah, we did that too. I'm responsible for these two.
But that's the thing that usually slows you down.
What do you mean slows you down?
You said that that's the one you kind of get caught up in the drinking and
yeah, because these are the people you learn to drink with. Yeah, exactly. That one was kind of disappointing because I had been waiting for this steak this whole month, and then got there and it was bad.
Oh, really?
Which is so disappointing when you're going to like, you know, you don't eat, who eats big giant steaks all the time? So like when it's a special one and you're like, okay, here we go. Tonight's the night. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, oh, no, that was awful. The one thing I haven't done on New Year's Eve, we went over to our friend's place and he broke out a Cuban cigar.
Mm.
But the timing was all wrong. It was such a good cigar, but it was at like 11:45.
Yeah.
And then you got to run inside where everybody, you know, for the big countdown.
Right, right.
And so I just left it out there. And then one of the kids, young kids, started crying that the dad was smoking.
Oh,
and that was it. So I have this beautiful cigar still on his porch.
Oh, no.
Just sitting out there. So I haven't satisfied that itch. Yeah. But I have to say, because I didn't go completely nuts, I don't see any reason to go dry January this year.
Yeah, this is why we ended up shooting baskets. Me and my dad went outside.
Yeah.
And then I even helped them. I think this is Christmas night, maybe. My parents have this, you know, they have a deck, and they have like basically like a Nerf hoop, but it's like iron. Like, mm-hmm. It's kind of like a mini thing.
Nice.
So they gave me, like, a little basketball just as a gift. So we started, like, shooting outside. And so my sister and I started doing stuff on the iPhone, like a slow motion. So then I was, like, telling my mom to dunk it. And so she didn't really know how to dunk it. She's still, like, throwing a layup. And then she just touched the ball on the rim. She thought that was a dunk. And I was like, no, you got to go over it. So she got on, like, my sister's back and dunked it.
Oh, wow.
So that was, like, a Florida thing. Or like, here we are in December. We're outside shooting baskets in our shorts and flip-flops or slippers. So
then when we came back here, it was 60 degrees.
Which felt freezing, right?
Felt so cold. I was going to go for a run, and I'm like, I don't know. It's so cold out.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, if I was in New York and it was 60, I'd think it was spring.
Yeah, you'd have shorts on.
Yeah, you'd be like, let's go. I was like, So I went out and did it, and I'm like, come on, it's not cold. 60 degrees is 60 degrees.
Yeah, it had a weird, like, because it was kind of like, I think a couple nights it said it was like 53. It had this weird kind of brisk, like, coldness to it. Like, my bathroom is kind of, like, towards the outside, and that gets really cold if it's, like...
Yeah, we're not built for winter at all here. So if it is, like, 40 at night, it's, like, it's freezing. Oh, we have to talk about this sad news. Do you hear who passed away?
Yeah, couple.
Bob Einstein, Super Dave.
Your past guest on the show.
He passed away. It was so sad.
Yeah.
76. Not that old.
Didn't realize he was sick. They said maybe he was sick or something.
Yeah, I saw they were like, you could donate to a cancer thing. I think he just found out that he had something. And I knew he had heart problems, but I don't know. I guess that's what it was. I guess it was the cancer. But it was so sad. It was. Didn't expect to hear that news.
He did do great, though. Like, he's a guy.
Oh, amazing.
And I always thought maybe he was like late 70s anyway, like even earlier than this, because he'd been around for so long.
This is Funkhauser from HBO and Super Dave Osborne from our childhood. And
Officer Judy from the Officer Smothers Judy. Brothers show.
Yeah. And so lucky to... How did I become friendly with him?
Brother of Albert Brooks.
Albert Brooks, yeah. The great Albert Brooks. It's so sad. So he passed away today, and he was one of the funniest people I ever met. I mean, his voice was just great. And how did I end up doing the first interview with him for Come to Papa? We should replay it.
Yeah, you should put it up.
It was, it's a little time sensitive because, like, one was during the election, one was. Another one was he would talk about what was going on in the news. Oh, Caitlyn Jenner, like before she really went through with everything.
Oh, really?
He was making some inappropriate remarks, which were hilarious. But I somehow got to him. I can't. Why am I drawing a blank? But I got to go to his house here and out in the desert and spend a night with him, and then
another one here. Went that far.
Well, you know, we were good friends, and. And then he would call, and he was kind of legendary for this, or he would call, and you really needed some free time to pick it up, because he was going to talk for a good half hour. You couldn't get off. There was no getting off the phone.
That's great. Because
he would just call, because he didn't do stand-up, but he was so damn funny.
Yeah.
He would just call, and basically he was doing stand-up.
Right.
As an outlet on the phone.
Well, that's what he seemed like on that show. He would just, you know, the Curb Your Enthusiasm, like half the things that he said, he's just reacting to it. And Larry David's like, this is going to be gold.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be. He always sounded annoyed like that. I think that Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with him is one of the best because he just sounds annoyed the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, man. But one of, like, the truly funniest, naturally funny people that I ever got a chance to meet. I was very lucky to become friends with him for, like, the last 5 years, which was, when you're in comedy, one of the cool things about life in general is when you idolize people and all of a sudden you end up being kind of pals with them.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid watching Super Dave, which was like an Evel Knievel kind of thing where he would always fail.
Yeah.
I just thought that was the funniest thing. And then to fast forward 30 years later, you're sitting in the living room with him.
Yeah.
Which is just kind of crazy.
That life can be that long.
It's
just weird.
And then you can find your way through the forest and end up next to them.
Yeah.
Is pretty great.
And his thing too, like he was a guy who, you know, because their dad was on... What was the...
His dad was a vaudeville comic.
Park Your Carcass.
Park Your Carcass was his name.
And the famous story was he was like, I think it was an actual roast.
Yeah.
And he died like telling a joke.
Yeah.
And then when he did die, all the comedians were telling jokes at the funeral.
Yeah.
And it peeved him off so much that he never wanted to be working comedy.
Yeah.
So he like became an advertising person and like was in some commercial, and Tommy Smothers saw him.
Yeah.
In like a commercial, right? Isn't that how
he
it
was
happened?
Playing a character?
Yeah.
And Tommy Smothers saw it and asked to meet with him while they were doing the Smothers Brothers show.
And then as soon as he like got on the set, he's like, "Oh yeah, this is what I want to do."
And he produced like Red Fox and Sonny and Cher, and like he became a producer and mm-hmm. a writer and a performer. And but you know, more than anything else, he just had this real. He was one of those guys that had a real joy for life, like really.
Yeah.
Like when you're around them, it's just contagious. Like everything's great, everything's fun. How mm-hmm. how lucky are we to be here? How yeah. lucky are we to have this day? You know, that kind of a attitude, and that was like one of the best things about him.
Yeah, see, that's who I think about. Guys, like when people talk about L.A.,
yeah,
it's like a derogatory, like. New York or L.A. or uh-huh. L.A. is phony. It's like, no, these guys, Gary Shandling, Einstein, like these guys are funny and they're successful and they don't have to do anything anymore and they still love mm-hmm. being funny and doing it and they all live a long time. And, you know, that's what I think about instead of the, you know, plastic surgery and buying a nice car or whatever like that. I think of those kind of guys. Like, this guy loves being on TV, loves entertaining people, and that's yeah. not a bad thing.
Right. Yeah. It was, there is that definite, I think it's because it's sunshine. And if, like, you're out here, you're kind of, it kind of takes your mind into, we're allowed to have fun to enjoy ourselves
yeah.
at the same time that we're doing this.
Can you imagine him in New York, though?
No. And now he would tell me. He'd be like, what 30. Are you crazy? I was literally going through having to decide where we were going to live. Mm-hmm. And it was literally during that time, and I would talk it through with him. And I would be back in New York, actually. I'd be back there during this time, and he would be like, "Where are you? I'm in New York." Oh my! Why? It's 80 degrees out here. You're just walking the streets, and they're filled with piss and angry people and rain. Tell me what's the temperature? That's 35. Oh my God! What is wrong with you? You have a house in Los Angeles. What are you doing with your life? It was like, yeah, he wouldn't even visit anymore. He was so over it. And he had this great place out in the desert on this golf course, and he was just living the life. I do have this one little pang though, because his phone number wouldn't come up. It was one of like the only three people that it comes up as blocked number.
Mm-hmm.
And someone called me about a week ago, mm-hmm. and I saw it, and I was cooking and couldn't do it. And he'd very rarely leave a message. And I think I might have missed his call.
Yeah.
I have a feeling. There was a part of me saying I should try and see if that was him. And didn't, and now I never will find out.
Yeah.
But a great man, and I'm very sad to start the new year off with him gone. That's so upsetting. We should all enjoy life the same way.
Well, I always think it's funny when your world intersects so much. Like, because one of the funniest things he did from the Smothers Brothers show was he was like Officer Judy. And he pulls a Liberace over,
right?
While he's for playing the piano too fast, he gave him like a speeding ticket.
Yeah,
and then you were in the Liberace movie.
Yeah,
you know, like that's
or
so
even
weird.
More, yeah, and also Tommy Smothers played my dad.
Really?
In The Informant.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he played my father.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, and Bob played Matt's father.
Oh, okay.
In the Oceans movie.
Oh,
yeah, one of the Oceans.
Yeah, that's when you think about those now, because, you know, Bernie Mac's gone.
I know.
Like, is Elliot Gould still alive?
Yes.
He is.
I believe so.
I think one of the other guys in there died.
Carl Reiner's still around.
And it's like, wow, that's like a pretty good, like, it's almost like a time capsule.
Yeah.
Of all those great guys.
I know. Really amazing. But that's why we have to stop eating cookies at some point and start focusing on your health, because you never know what's going to happen. Or you go the other way and say, well, you know, hey, he was a healthy guy. He did his things right. But, you know, a disease ended up catching him at 76. Yeah. So maybe you should just enjoy that cigar with a mouthful of cookie and just enjoy your life.
You know, the other one that we just lost is... I don't know if this means anything to you. I can't tell if you were a wrestling fan or not.
Not really.
But Mean Gene Okerlund, he was like the first announcer for the WWF.
Oh,
he's like the bald guy with the mustache.
Right.
And he would always be overly dramatic.
I remember Gene the Dancing Machine.
Yeah.
From the Gong Show. That was a pretty good one. You know what movie I saw over the break? We're starting to get all of the screeners in. I got to see... Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, did you like it?
The Queen. Yeah, I thought it was really good. I thought, you know, what's harder than... There's nothing harder than playing Freddie Mercury.
Oh, he's so good.
And, yeah, that guy was great. You know, there's little technical things that maybe... But, you know, you can't be the guy. You just got to get the essence of the guy. And I think he totally did. It was...
Yeah.
It was impressive.
It was a fun movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like Oscar...
Nah.
Trying to think whether that was going a little too far, but it was, you know, I love...
He might get nominated for...
Yeah, I could see that. The story was a little like... It seemed like cliff notes of like this, you know, something that should have been maybe like a 10-minute scene was like 30 seconds.
Yeah. You're just... What was nice about it was that the drug drinking part, like he didn't become that much of a mess with that. He just kind of... It was like nice to see it. You know, he had a period where he got a little lost and astray, but it wasn't like this, you know, horrible drug thing, which so many of the music docs follow, you know, go that
right,
way.
Right.
It was kind of a relief, but it was great. I mean, you hit all the notes, you know what it's going to happen, you know where you're headed.
Yeah.
But, you know, and you get to end with the Live Aid concert, which was one of the greatest performances of all time.
Yeah.
Here's a question, and I don't mean to say this in an old man kind of a way, but when you're watching them put together Live Aid and they're trying to get Queen back and they haven't been together for 3 years, and they're like, come on, you know, we want you to be a part of it. Led Zeppelin's going to be there, The Who, The Rolling Stones, Bob Dylan, all these huge bands, and they want Queen. And I was like, what if you were putting together Live Aid today? You know, back then, Zeppelin, the Stones, the Who.
Right.
Queen. Who's on the list today?
Well, but also you got to remember, those were like kind of, all those bands that were huge in the 70s were having trouble translating.
Mm-hmm.
Like even James Brown did like a disco record because he didn't know.
Because things were changing.
So it was like even the Who, remember Aerosmith was like nowhere until like 86 or something. And they came back with like a bunch of stuff. So that was, I kind of know a little bit too much about Queen. But basically they were kind of like the people who maybe weren't hip anymore.
Right.
And they performed at that... the Sun City, those resort
apartheid thing.
Yeah, they were kind of like out of favor, and they were even worried about like getting booed.
Yeah,
like that's what they were on earlier in the day. That's why they were playing early, and so nobody really had any expectations from them. So that's why it was like so great, because it was like
they were amazing.
They just blew it off.
No, but you know what I mean. You know, those bands don't exist anymore. And it's not because there's not creative people. There are always creative people, but there's no... You don't grow as a touring band anymore this way.
Yeah.
You know, it was like you used to play... You know, you'd release the album, go to all these small markets, and then you'd get bigger and bigger, and you end up playing arenas at the end. And we don't have that... There's not that cultivated... way of marketing anymore, growing. So, like, you get something, you release it, it's on YouTube, and you're streaming to 20 million people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the touring model. But because of that, I think, that's a big part of it, we don't have those bands anymore.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this band Greta Van Fleet or whatever? Mm. They're kind of like the new Zeppelin.
No.
They're kind of like this, they sound like Zeppelin, but good, not like a rip-off-y kind of way. And I just ran into someone who's friends with someone from it, and I was like, oh, cool, I'm learning about this new band. And they're huge. If I've heard of them, they're huge already. And this Greta Van Fleet is like, oh, maybe it's going to come back. Maybe there'll be this resurgence of, you know, even Guns N' Roses kind of like was one of the, you know, Guns N' Roses, Coldplay maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I would say Foo Fighters is probably
that's a good one.
The big, well, also because he's so good at connecting the dots, like as far as like some younger good people and older good, you know, brings like, you know,
Bruno Mars.
Yeah. Like a
but
lot.
Those big bands just aren't around right now. Maybe Greta is like maybe that's a sign of things to come.
Maybe.
Young people want to freak out and, you know, have that good time. And
well, I think like learning instruments and stuff is coming back, as dumb as it sounds. Like it.
No,
like
I know. Things are cyclical that way. And I think that like there's a lot of radio stations that are in New York that are guys that were on the air when I was a kid. And all of a sudden they're gaining in popularity again.
Uh-huh.
And I think young people are starting to crave the, no, you tell us when the band is coming into town.
Right.
And we're part of this community and they're coming to our stadium and we're going to go see it and we're going to, you know, satellite and streaming doesn't build that up, doesn't support that. And so you start to lose that young sense of community of our parents don't know this exists, but we know it exists and we're going to the show and we're all busting out and going and doing this. And, you know, every time a new generation pops up, you have a chance for things to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is it. You know, maybe this is the time. Cocaine made a comeback.
Well, it is interesting that, like, you know, maybe you could take a kid to, like, see one of those DJs and then see him, take him to Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
And see the difference between, like, this is a show.
Right, yeah.
And this is
a human being trying to turn you on.
Because it really is hard to see. You know, I grew up in the suburbs, so there wasn't a ton of concerts or chances to see live music. And now all my friends have kids that are in bands, and they play at the little bars and stuff like that. And it seems almost like there's more now than there was before.
Yeah.
Like, in some places. So that's a good sign.
Maybe it's coming. If you glance down there, we got to wrap up soon, but if you glance down there, that's one of my Christmas gifts. It's a new turntable.
Ooh. Tom's going to be a DJ?
I'm going to go back to vinyl. I have a bunch of old vinyl over there.
Yeah.
And someone just gave it, my wife gave it to me as a gift, so I'm thinking, I have a typewriter from 1938 on my desk, and a turntable. I'm digging for the past. I think we all are in some regard. I think we're, you know, you want things that kind of you can touch and feel and connect to. You know, I can, with my phone, I can get, there's not one song you can mention in the world, in the history of music, that I can't conjure up within 20 seconds. But there's something not as satisfying about it as, you know, the full experience.
There's nothing invested in it.
Yeah.
You didn't find it. You didn't seek it out. You didn't.
Yeah. And this is, like I said, started saying, this isn't an old man talking, saying, well, in my day, it was like this. It's just, we're just talking about experience.
Right.
Like you said, like, you see Bruno Mars, you know, that's not saying, oh, he's not as good as my day. It's like, no, this guy's, you know, kicking ass.
Well, live. It's like, it's even comedy. It's like you see all these things on YouTube, and it gets kind of boring.
Yeah.
And then you go see a live show.
And you're like, oh.
And you're like, wow. You know, like they put out, 57 Netflix specials today.
Yeah. Did they really?
Yeah.
Today?
I think it was January 1st.
They were putting out 57?
Yeah. They taped 50 specials last year at Just for Laughs.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's
so
right.
So they have ruined comedy, pretty much.
Oh, my God.
Or at least made it good for all these other outlets, because it really does seem like Netflix is kind of done. Like, it's the filter is no longer there. So, like, I'd rather go to Stars or Showtime and watch Escape from Dannemora or one of those shows than, like, watch, yeah, you know, the 50th guy that should have got a special this year.
I think that might be my play this year, is just find a way to do a special and just give it to people.
Well, I did that, you know, that special I did for Dry Bar, which was, yeah, like this production company, and they somehow like locked into Facebook because they're all clean clips, you know?
Right.
And they put one up on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Like the nutritionist thing, and it has 600,000 views already.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
So all the clips, like, there's like 3 or 4 million from the special that I did on Facebook. So it's like I'm reaching more people that way than...
That's fine.
If you see a comic on Conan, they have like the same amount of views as, you know,
yeah, after being up there for, you know, 3 years.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, that's great.
So just get people to see it is the only way.
My last thing, I also got a book written by Jeff Tweedy.
Oh, nice.
Autobiography of Tweedy called Tweedy. Called Let's Go So We Can Get Back. And all about his little musical adventures through Wilco and the rest of it. And super well written. I literally plopped myself down and just read.
Oh, nice.
Right through it in 2 days, which I carried this other book around with me called Orphans by Kiragachi or something, some Japanese Nobel Prize winning author, and it took me 3 months to get through it.
Mm.
It was just opaque, and just, and then you pick up Tweedy and just,
yeah,
boom. And it's, you know, he's not trying to be tricky, he's just telling you a good story, well written.
Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend it.
And he's there this week.
Yeah, he's gonna be at Largo.
You should see him.
I know. I was thinking of going, but
like a couple nights, I think.
Yeah, I wanted to perform with him, but I think that slot might be taken. Fair listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. We are planning on having another great year. You know, I didn't even talk about New Year's resolutions this New Year.
Not yet.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
Back to work next week.
Yeah, come on. Let's ease into this. How about we just be... I got that feeling, even like the party and just being around people during the holiday. It was like there wasn't that frenzy of like, let's go. It was like, let's just get through it.
Yeah, yeah.
let's all calm down just a little bit. Real life has become too intense. Use this to kind of kick back a little bit. We hope you're all doing well. Check Paul as a website. Go to Facebook and see his zillion downloads. Where can they see that? Is that on your Facebook?
My Facebook or Dry Bar Comedy, special. There's like 4 or 5 clips up there.
Gotcha. And that's it. We'll talk to you next week, probably on a Tuesday. Today's Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Who the hell even knows? Enjoy your life.